You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
You might not know it, but the city of Milwaukee boasts an impressive and rich jazz history, one that's not widely known outside of the city. And when our next guest started looking into that history, he was surprised at how little information he could find about it.
Now he's taking matters into his own hands and digging into the city's musical past to unearth artifacts that bring Milwaukee's jazz history to life, and he's sharing them with the public in a digital archive.
Jamie Brevik is with us now. He's the founder of the Milwaukee Jazz History Project. Jamie, thanks a lot for talking today.
Thank you, Veronica, for having me. It's an honor to be with you guys.
So, Jamie, what got you thinking about putting together Milwaukee's jazz history?
Well, it's actually part of a larger story. Back in 2010, myself and a handful of other local Milwaukee musicians decided to start a jazz advocacy organization called the Milwaukee Jazz Vision. And we've had kind of a multifaceted reach up till this point. Some of our other endeavors have included putting on like a performance series. We've had a number of different concerts we've promoted, trying to build partnerships with other organizations in the city. For example, we are working with the folks over at Summerfest to bring a jazz series back to Summerfest, which has long since been missing that. I mean, their flagship stage back in the day was the Miller Jazz Oasis, and that's long gone. But we're working with them to bring that back, as well as many other endeavors, just trying to promote the jazz scene here in Milwaukee. So the History Project came about when I started working with a guitarist in town called Manti Ellis. He's been a very prominent educator and performer in Milwaukee for a long time. He's 82 years old, and he's still very active as a performer. And he started calling me to play with him. And just, I think through getting to know Manti a little bit, he's got an incredible memory. And you know, he would often share stories with a lot of us on the breaks, on the gigs and whatnot. And I decided to dig a little deeper, as you said, and I did an interview with Manti, which I've posted on our website, and just some fascinating stories to hear firsthand from somebody who has been active since the 1950s. So it kind of sparked an interest to look a little farther and see what I could find. And a lot of the information that was online was either more current, more recent things like on Facebook, and I had a hard time finding things, I should just say, online as they sit now.
And you're going to try to make sure that Milwaukee's jazz history doesn't get lost again. You're putting together your own digital archive. What kinds of stuff are you putting in the archive?
Absolutely. Yeah. Right now, I'm sort of just collecting photographs. I've got a page of video clips, things that were already either pre-existing on YouTube, or I was able to find a really nice video of a Dizzy Gillespie interview that was done at UW-Milwaukee in 1972, and I threw that up on there. I've got a whole pile of news clippings and articles that I have yet to go through and scan and organize and put those up on there. But there are a few things that I've put on there, some articles that are up there now. One of the partners that we've worked with a lot is onmilwaukee.com, and the great writer Bobby Tanzillo, and his historian himself. He has helped us out quite a bit, and he sent me all, you know, everything he's ever written on the Milwaukee jazz scene, and that's up there right now. But I've got literally stacks of old images to go through and old news clippings that I've yet to get organized and get up there. I'm hoping to get through that this summer.
Milwaukee had a pretty thriving jazz scene, some big musicians to come out of it, some big jazz players. And we've got a clip here of trumpet player Dick Rudebush, one of the most famous jazz musicians to come out of Milwaukee. Let's take a listen. Oh, that is amazing. Jamie, I know that you're a trumpet player, too. What goes through your mind when you hear that?
Well, it's unfortunate. I believe, if I could stand corrected, but I believe Dick died very young. And, you know, he is someone I think that's very prototypical of a lot of the musicians that you find in Milwaukee. There's some very, very talented players in town that, for whatever reason, either work or family obligations, have chosen to stay here, but probably could have made it anywhere in the country or the world. Dick Rudebush being one of them, Manti Ellis, whom I mentioned, the great Berkeley Fudge, who is a tenor saxophonist who's still with us in Milwaukee. I think that it's just that unsung nature. You know, people who are about the music and who are about the keeping the tradition alive, but are under the radar. So I think part of the vision of this archive is to maybe just bring some recognition to some of those musicians.
We're talking to musician and history buff Jamie Brevik about Milwaukee's jazz history. He's putting together a digital archive about that history. And Dizzy Gillespie was in Milwaukee. He was at WTMJ in the early 70s talking about his thoughts on whether or not Milwaukee had a future in jazz. Let's listen.
I see jazz on a level, on the highest level in music, because it is rich and is vibrant and well. So therefore, I see it way, way up. I have my eyes set on where jazz is supposed to be, and it's way above what it is now.
It's kind of cool to hear Dizzy Gillespie in Milwaukee on a Milwaukee TV or radio station. Did Milwaukee become a hub that could attract big stars like Dizzy?
Well, I think Milwaukee was a lot like a lot of cities at that time, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, when jazz was more prominent, popularity-wise, I guess. But I think back then what you saw, and this was definitely shared with me in my interview with Manti and my acquaintances who have experienced music outside of Milwaukee, that I think back then it was much easier for musicians to tour. And so you had a circuit, if you will, of clubs and venues that musicians could tour, and they could tour through the country. They would come through Milwaukee. They would come, you know, maybe between Chicago and Minneapolis. We had the great Jazz Gallery, which is a wonderful venue in Milwaukee that hosted every big name in jazz you could imagine between 1978 and 1984. So I think back then you had that opportunity where big name artists, for example, Dizzy Gillespie, they would come through towns like Milwaukee much more frequently and get a chance to make an impression on the musicians there, and maybe even work with some of the musicians and certainly some of the students, as in the video with Dizzy you mentioned. That was actually, he was in Milwaukee. I found out in 1972 he was in town to do a clinic and performance at UW Milwaukee, and that's when they did that interview with him. So yeah, I think that has kind of gone away a little bit. Where big name artists are touring through towns like Milwaukee.
Did being so close to Chicago help or hurt Milwaukee? Because on the one hand, you could think, well, these big names will go to Chicago for sure, and then they'll swing by Milwaukee. But also, you could just see Chicago kind of dwarfing Milwaukee.
Right. Actually, I don't see it as a negative thing at all. In fact, I think even recently, I think there's more and more connection between the two cities, and I think. For example, the Jazz Estate, which is our wonderful jazz club in Milwaukee, Matt Turner, who is a current owner, is really drawing on some of those bigger name artists and bringing them back in through town. I also see a lot of collaboration between Milwaukee and Chicago artists. Me, myself, as a performer, I know plenty of players down there. It's a very rich and vibrant scene still. And I see a lot more collaboration, actually, and musicians from Chicago coming up and performing in Milwaukee and vice versa. There's some great players in Milwaukee that are getting some opportunities to work down there. So I think it is not necessarily Chicago dwarfing Milwaukee per se. I just think I think our proximity has done nothing but give us more of a connection to a larger scene.
And how would you describe, you know, the current jazz scene in Milwaukee? You're at the forefront of efforts to revive it, to bring it back to Summerfest, and make sure it's thriving. But where is it right now?
I see it as being very strong. To be honest with you, the one thing I can say is that there and has always been the case, there are some fantastic performers and teachers here in Milwaukee. We have the wonderful Wisconsin Conservatory of Music, which has a long and storied tradition itself. Mark Davis, Eric Jacobson, the whole staff over there, everybody's fantastic, and they're bringing up the next generation as well as being active performers themselves. We have a great program at UW-Milwaukee with Kurt Hanrahan. The Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra has a wonderful jazz studies program led by Chris Mell. Fantastic teachers, Neil Davis who and Isaiah Joshua, who are running the West End Conservatory. I mean, there's a lot. I think more now than ever, there are education opportunities. And I think that speaks a lot in that we have a constant stream of wonderful young players coming up.
Well, Jamie, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about it.
Thank you so much for having me, Veronica. I appreciate the time.
History buff Jamie Brevik. He's putting together a digital archive of items relating to Milwaukee's jazz history. We've got a link to that on the Central Time Facebook page.
I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time.